break that we had.
God is good.
We're going to be in the book of Hebrews this morning.
All right.
Don't know if you know much about the book of Hebrews. It is a great book. Of course, scholars are still unsure about who wrote it. Everybody, of course, leans toward Paul, but then some others lean toward other people writing the great book of Hebrews. But Hebrews offers so much in-depth information just about Jesus, about our walk, our fallen Jesus, about our behavior, about those who may choose to fall away from the Word of God. Just offers so much information. But we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 1. Today we're going to talk about who is Jesus and who are you? Isn't that the question?
Come on.
Life of self-discovery. We're always trying to figure out who we are, where am I going, who am I going to be in several years to come, and for a lot of us, who do I want to be? That's the question. It's like, I want to be this individual when I get this age, or I don't want to be like them when I get this age, or I want to be in this place in life when I get this age, and I don't want to be like that when I get this age. I think each generation that comes after the next generation, you learn from those who have gone ahead of you, and you see some good things that they did. You're like, man, I like that. I want to be like that. And then you see some things that you're like, that wasn't so good what they did. I don't want to end up like that. So therefore, you're always trying to figure out, man, who am I going to be going forward? And we're going to talk about this morning about who is Jesus. And when we figure out who Jesus is, then we're going to talk about who am I? You know, who am I supposed to be? I love the book of Hebrews. It's a great book. It starts off in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. And it just talks about, you know, God's word and his son. And it says in the scripture, it says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various places. It says, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. It says the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. It says, after he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. I want to stop and focus here. A couple of things that God wants us, you and I, to understand is, he says that in the past, when God wanted to communicate with us, his people, communicate his words, it says that he used the prophets. He said the prophets, they were the vehicles, the conduit for which he used to communicate divine information to them, which was life-changing and saving information to them. But then he says, going forward, he says, now he uses Jesus, his son. He says Jesus is his heir, and he is the plant, we should say. If you know what a plant is, not a plant that you grow, but thinking like a plant facility that you work at. So this is the analogy is like Jesus is like the plant. He's like the manufacturing, which he made everything through. Think about that. He says the whole universe, everything was made through Jesus. And so you think about it from the analogy, it's like, well, most of our cars are made, think about Nissan plant. Cars are coming out of Nissan plant. That's where them cars are being manufactured through. He says, Jesus is what you and I, the whole world, the universe, has been made through. Verse 3, he talks about, he says, Jesus is the radiance of God. He says he shines, he glows, he is brightness in the darkness. He says he looks like his father in action and truth. He holds all things together by his word. He provided a cleansing for our sins and then took his rightful place next to God. So first point I want to talk about is, which focuses around verse 2, it says, let's talk about Jesus. Who is Jesus? Let's talk about his position. He's heir. He's the heir. A lot of us are heir to a lot of things. We have parents. We have grandparents. We have uncles and aunts. So we are heir to whatever they're leaving behind. Now, our parents may own a house. And I'm going to tell you, there's a difference when somebody said, hey, I just bought a car. It's not your car until you have the title. So you may go to the dealership, you drive with a nice shiny thing and say, I bought a car. But if you're still making payments, you're still in the process of what? Buying the car.
Right.
Don't be misled by that. You're still buying the car. If you own a house, it's not your house until you have the deed in hand.
Yeah.
And the bank no longer has it. So if you're still making a mortgage payment, I should say, guess what? You're still in the process of buying your home.
Right.
When you are an heir to something, you pray that man, that God, or whoever it is, your parents, that they own it so that you inherit it as I own it, not only inherit their debt. But you want to inherit what they own. So Jesus' position is that he's the heir of all things. That's amazing. He's the heir of all things. God put him in this position. God says he's the heir of all things because all things were made through him. You gotta ask yourself, how do you feel about that? Are you happy with that? Are you content knowing like there's a source, there's a reason I can look back and say, this is where all things was made from, including me.
Mm-hmm.
Does that bring me joy? Does that make me happy? Does that inspire me that I can point, I have a reference point I can point to know that I have a beginning, I know where it begins. His position. Number two point is what he represents. The radiance of God. Now, I don't know about you. I know growing up, I was not always a radiance of my parents. I didn't always have good days growing up, you know. Some moments like, especially when you grow up, you think about going through high school, you know, elementary, like you forget that, you know, those are kind of like, hey, huh, whatever. Middle school, yeah, huh, whatever. But high school, kind of the defining moments, you feel like you're coming into something new. I've got my new group of friends. I've got my new clique. We know what's happening. Anybody that's come before us, they don't know nothing. We are what's happening now. Me and the crew. And me and the crew tend to get in a lot of trouble. And I was not so radiant of my household name. But you know, you have to think about it. When you're radiant, man, you shine, you glow, you're bright. You're representing more than just what? Just you.
That's right.
You're representing more than just you. When you're radiant, people want to know, where did you get that from? Why are you so just glowing? Man, I mean, you have a shine about you. Why is that? They want to know where that comes from. And we as people were curious. We want to know your people, where you live. Can I come to your house? Can I hang out where you hang out? That's just how we are. You see, Jesus was very radiant. And Jesus wants you to know where he came from. He says, I come from God. I come from purity. I come from God. God who is of truth and action. That's where I come from. He says, God who words never fail. And he says, I shine so bright and I'm so radiant that God put me in a position to cleanse all past sins so that you and I could have a fresh start. What an amazing glow. Do you want to have that type of glow about you? Ask yourself, do you want to have that type of glow about you? Because when you're glowing, you're not glooming.
Come on.
When you're glowing, you're not downcast.
Right.
When you're glowing, you're not living in depression.
Mm-hmm.
When you are glowing, everybody wants to know you.
Yep.
Everybody wants to be in your circle. They want to get some of your energy.
That's right.
Who is Jesus? Scripture says he was radiant. Scripture says he was the purification for your sins and my sin. Man, Scripture says he was the exact image of his Father in action and truth. Finally, verse 4 says, let me tell you a little bit more about Jesus. He says, because God bestowed on him this position, because God made him this radiant being, not only himself, but his name became superior to all angels and everything else.
Yes.
Who wouldn't want to be superior? Listen, some of us. It's probably in all of us. Some of us even more. I was watching an old show. Probably a lot of you probably don't know this. So I'm about to tell my age. So this is channel. I don't know if I'm pronouncing this channel right. It's called, it's spelled T-U-B-I. How do you pronounce that? I call it Tubi, Tubi. So anyway, this is what happens when you sit at home and you're just kind of going through Xfinity and you're kind of going through things. You're like, let me see if they have this show. $6 million man. Whoa, they have this.
Cool.
Oh my God, this is on, hold on. This is on what? Two by. Let me see what this thing is. And you go back, they get like all these old shows, and I came across this show called The Greatest American Hero.
Oh yeah.
Who knows about that? Yeah. That's great. That's awful. And I love the song, the theme song, you know. It is a great theme song. So it's about this school teacher, and he's a school teacher. They send him to his classroom to teach like these kids who are like just out of control, and they're just bad. They're just not cooperating. And so they take this field trip, and I'm thinking, who takes a field trip out to the desert? So we could take a field trip out to the desert. And I'm thinking like, man, we really just didn't know. And he's taking a field trip out to the desert with some kids. And so they're taking this field trip, and they end up in this desert in the middle of the night. The vehicle supposedly breaks down and everything out there. And all of a sudden, this alien vehicle comes across while he's walking to go get help. And he meets this other guy who he met earlier. And this alien vehicle comes out, and this dead guy who got killed comes out with this gift and said, look, this suit only works with you. This is your suit, and it's only for you. It can't work with nobody else. If you don't want to keep it, it's going to disintegrate in 2 weeks. If not, it's yours. So he takes the suit, and him and this guy are supposed to work together. And so he loses the manual. They give him a manual book, and he loses the manual in the desert about how to use the suit. And I'm like, why don't you just go back and get the manual? Go back to the desert. He never goes back and looks for the manual. But so he has his ability to fly like Superman to dodge bullets, but it's crazy when you see him fly. He's all over the place. But anyway, there's this part on the bridge. The guy, the cop who's all like FBI, like, man, I do it. I know it. And he says, why didn't they give me the suit? Why did they give you the suit? Because the teacher's not so up on everything. He's just this humble guy, whatever guy, like, whatever. I don't want it. I didn't ask for it. But the cop is like, they should have given it to me. Man, we can go over there and end the Cold War. We can go over there and take all the nukes out. The cop's like, he's just going through these scenarios. And I think about, that's how we can be sometimes when we're put in the position of superiority.
That's right.
There's some of us like, give me the suit. I know what to do with the suit. Give me the title of superiority. I know what to do with the title of superiority. There's some of us like, I don't want that position. But it's amazing. God said, but you're the exact person I want to have.
Yep. This.
You're the person I want to be in the position of superiority.
That's right.
To everything else. Whether you want it or not, God said, but you have the right characteristics. See, what Jesus gained was a name above all names. And what God wants to do for you is, he wants to give you a name and put you in a position. Guess what? A name above all names and a position above all positions. So let's revisit this. We talked about who Jesus is. So who are you? We talked about his position. Let's talk about your position. You see, when you choose to identify as a follower of Jesus, you become an heir to the kingdom of God. God wants you to be his vehicle, his conduit, for which he can use to communicate his word, his plans of hope, and a new beginning to others. You know, it's the holidays, and it can become very confusing and very hectic. You know, as we tend to celebrate this month, you know, there's things that people do in this month. We celebrate parties. There's going to be Christmas parties. There's going to be a lot of shopping. Now, some of us, we may not do shopping. We're just hoping somebody else shop and give us something. This is how we are. You're like, well, I want to give. I meant to give. But, you know, if you're giving me something, amen. I don't know. Some of us are wired like that. But that shopping, there's a lot of eating. Now, some of us know, like, we don't have no business near the table. But there's some of us, our metabolism is so fast, it just doesn't matter. It's like, God, you just burn it off. And we're like, I want your body. You know, I want to have your metabolism because it just burns through you. So it's going to be a lot of parties, a lot of shopping, a lot of eating. These activities can make you forget who you are. But guess what? If you stay close to God in prayer, you would never forget your position.
That's right.
And your position is that you are heir to the kingdom of God. Don't let the holidays get you confused or get you out of loop. Next, we talk about what Jesus represents. We're going to jump this over to what you represent. Because see, if you're a follower of Jesus, guess what? If Jesus is the radiance of God, then so are you. That's what you have to realize. If Jesus is the radiance of God and you're following Jesus, what does that make you?
What?
Are you not the radiance of God also?
That's right.
You see, you are called to be the brightness in this world because this world has a lot of dark spots, a lot of dark moments. All of us, we see them. Some of us, we don't want to see them. Some of them, we just want to like, I don't want it to be there. It's not there. It's not there. But the dark spots are there. That's what God says, I created you to be the radiance, the bright spot in the darkness. He says, you are the bright that people are looking for. Do you get that? You are the bright, you are the brightness that people are looking for. Guess what? May your light shine from every corner in the city, in every room that you enter, every hallway that you travel, and in every conversation that you have. Remember, God's word will sustain you. A lot of times we like to go on our own opinions. We like to go on how I feel, what I believe, what I think. But I'm here to tell you, emotions make bad leaders. They always do. Sometimes emotions will make you say things that you wish you could take back. You wish never came out of my mouth. Or you wish it shouldn't have came out that way.
Right.
And man, you think the other person receiving it is feeling bad. You're feeling worse, like, oh, why did I say that? Let's beware of that. But see, that's why we need to lean on God's word, because his word will what? Sustain you. It is the foundation that you need to build your radiance and your brightness on. Remember, God's word will sustain you, and you are, and you will, and you can provide a cleansing from past sins by leading others to the true radiance of God. Which actually is our own source of light, and it just happens to be named Jesus.
Yep.
Be like, how can I provide a cleansing for others? Think about this. There are things that you know currently in the field that you may be working in or the education that you're doing that somebody else doesn't know. Do you know that each year as you evolve, somebody's coming behind you, and it's their first time learning what you already know? And do you know that in life itself, that your teacher, your boss, or superior would say, hey, I need you to take them up under your wing and train them. Show them what to do. That's just life. It's been happening before you and I have been here. Guess what? It's still happening. You're going to be asked, I guarantee you. If not this week in the future, will you take this person and show them what to do? Some of us are compelled to say, let me help you. Let me show you the way. It's just in us, because we like, now some of us, we do it, Paul says, you know, hey, Paul says, rather than false or truth, he says, as long as Christ is preached. Now some of us may do it for, I want to look good and feel like somebody, but some of us do it for, I want to help you to get better at what you're doing and what you want to do. Helping people to move beyond their past, what we do as those who want to follow Christ, is liberating them. We're helping them to freedom. Helping to cleanse them. God gives us the ability to help them to have freedom from their sin, because God says, I'm going to empower you with my word, my knowledge, my Bible, so that you can show them the path they need to take and no longer allow their past to dog them or to hold them back.
Right.
That's why Jesus is the original light. That's why he is the original source. That's why you and I have the ability to help others to break free from their past sins and no longer be a slave to it or dogged out by it. Mm-hmm. What do you represent? You represent the radiance of God. And God has found you to be usable. You see, people look for many ways to get rid of their past, believe it or not, their past demons, their past hurts, their past sins. But I'm here to tell you, drinking won't fix it.
Nope.
Because people believe I'm just going to drink and life is merry and life is happy. It don't. Guess what? When the hangover's over, guess what's still here? Reality. It's just here. You know, there are people who believe that, you know, that lying will fix it.
Nope.
That causes more anxiety anyway else, because you're trying to find another lie to put on top of that lie to keep the lie going.
Yeah.
But you know, if you just tell the truth and be done with it, guess what? There's peace of mind in that. We're done and we're gone. You know, many people try to run away from it. I don't know about you guys. I'm not a fast runner these days. And I don't know. I get exhausted real fast. I don't know how far you can run before you get tired. But running away don't help nothing. All running away does just wears you down. Because eventually you will get tired of what? Running. It just happens that way. You cannot fix it. Guess what? By making excuses. By looking for an easy way out. Only turning to Jesus can cleanse you from your past. And Jesus wants to use you and I to help other people to break free from their past.
Right.
Finally, guys, the last point we're going to talk about, man, what did Jesus gain? He gained the name that is above all name. So what did we gain? Look over back at me with Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 5. Chapter 1, verse 5. What do we gain? Verse 5 says, he talks about Jesus. He says, for to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son? Today I have become your father. Or again, I will be his father and he will be my son. And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. And speaking of the angels, he says, he makes his angels spirits and his servants flames of fire. He says, but about the Son, he says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. He says, you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. He also says, in the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. He says, they will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe. Like a garment, they will be changed, but you remain the same, and your years will never end. To which of the angels did God ever say, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Final point, what will you gain? You and I will gain, and we are destined to inherit, eternal salvation.
That's right.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Eternal salvation is what we gain. We will be saved from the darkness, our everyday struggles, the troubles that this world can bring. We will gain and inherit salvation. This is a powerful, powerful just first passage in Hebrew. And God wants you and I to get the point about not only how powerful he is, but the position that he has put Jesus in. And why Jesus is here, and why Jesus is our example that we should follow him and look to his example. You have to ask yourself, in this life, who do you want to identify with? You want to identify with a lot of people. But who do you really want to identify with? Who can really put you in the best position, not only in this life, but after we shed this flesh and we go on? Who do I want to identify with? Who can give me lasting joy? Who can give me lasting happiness? Who can give me life-changing moments? Man, who do I want to identify with? You know, it says Jesus is the life and the resurrection. Jesus says he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. It says no one comes to the Father except through Jesus. I love this analogy. I love the scripture as it opens up in Hebrews about who Jesus is. And basically just really reflects on who we need to be. But the question you need to ask yourself is, who do you want to be going forward? Think about that. Who do you really want to be going forward? Who do you want to be? What kind of light do you want to give off going forward? What do you want people to remember you as going forward? What positions in life are important to you? There are a lot of important positions. this is not to downgrade or to denote any positions in life, but what is the most important position that you want to be in life? And as we live this life, and it's a great life, and I'm grateful to God that God gives us life. We're living, we're breathing, our limbs are working, we're moving around, we're able to laugh, hug, cry, rejoice, sigh, feel warm and fuzzy inside. We have family and friends. We have people who love us. This group has been able to see another year come and go. Actually, it's about to leave, and we get to celebrate Christmas with our families, and we just get to see a lot. We just get to see a lot of things. This year alone, we have gained so much love. But going forward, what is the biggest gain that you really want to have? Do you really want salvation? How much does salvation mean to you? I want you to know you mean a lot to God. You mean a lot to God. I want you to know that you mean a lot to Jesus. So much that he became the example of purification for sin. You mean a lot to you. What does God mean to you? What does Jesus mean to you? What are you willing to give up? Let go of? What are you willing to change to be more like the one that you call on? What decisions are you willing to make today and say, starting today, I'm going to change this. I'm going to do away with this. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to get into a Bible study. I'm going to do whatever it takes starting today and for the rest of my life, because I want to be identified with Jesus. Mm-hmm. Remember, who is Jesus? He is the radiance of God. He is the heir apparent to the throne. Who are you? Only you can answer that starting the day. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you guys so much.